Thought for today. Thought for today. Thought for today. Looking for romance at work destroys my job effectiveness. Looking for romance at work destroys my job effectiveness. Looking for romance at work destroys my job effectiveness. Why does it destroy our job effectiveness when we look for romance at work? Because of many factors. One factor is that when we are at work and we have a special cuddling affair going on, then that means our attention is drawn to the cuddling affair rather than to our work. And we are not efficient employees. And then everybody is snickering behind our back saying, ah, they're in love, they're in love, ah, they're in love. And that doesn't help their effectiveness. And that doesn't help our effectiveness to have them say, oh, they're in love. And another aspect of it is that we tend to do little things for each other that the other should be doing. And we don't effectively do our job. Like, I'm walking through the door and Ingeborg wants to run up there and pull the door open for me. And that's lovely of her to do that, but she gets in my way from walking through the door. And so I say, Ingeborg, let me open the door myself. She says, well, I'm just trying to be helpful, you know. And other people, they like to eat your food for you and chew it for you. You know, it's that type of thing. But when you have romance at your work, you do lose your effectiveness as an employee and as a person. Now, why do you lose your effectiveness? Because you're not yourself. Anytime a person is in love, they're gaga, you know. They're not using all their good senses. They're not paying attention the way they should. They're not acting the way they should. They have not got their balance because they have fallen in love. They have, at least they're trying to fall in love, if not actually falling in love. And in the process, they are ineffective persons to themselves and everybody else. One movie we were watching one time had this alien from outer space, and he was visiting with this girl he was infatuated with. He wasn't supposed to. He was an angel. That was what he was. He was an angel. And he wasn't supposed to have earthly desires. And so he's helping her cut the potatoes and cut the celery and stuff like that. And he cuts off his finger. And he doesn't notice it at first, but she notices it. And then he looks down, whoops, and puts the finger back on again. But you see, when you're in love, you lose your effectiveness. You lose your sensitivity. Now, true, even an angel had that problem. But I think the angel was written by a person who was quite human, giving the angel all these human attributes. But it's very true. You do not pay attention to what you should be paying attention to. You do not look at what you should be looking at. And there's nothing wrong with being in love. There's nothing wrong with romance. There's nothing wrong, but let it always be in its proper place. Of course, if the love affair goes on too long, that is the gaga romance love affair, then you're not effective in your work experience and you're not effective in a lot of other areas of your life. If you are a single mother and fall in love with somebody else again, you don't pay attention to your children the way you should. If you're a single father falling in love with somebody, and you really are falling in love with them, you do all sorts of crazy things, like buying them gifts and so forth, when you don't have the money to buy the gifts. When you don't have the privilege to do that, the money belongs to the household. But you go out and buy outrageous things that she doesn't need and you don't need her to need, but you do this. You see, our judgment goes out the window when we do that. Why have you chosen the topic, looking for romance at work destroys my job effectiveness? Because that was a whole series of statements that I picked up, and I thought they were just all good. And maybe there's a reason for having this here. Maybe there's a reason for putting this on the internet to go to all of the millions of people around the world who read our internet and hang on every breath that I breathe, you know. And so there are silly people like that. But that's the same as falling for romance. Falling for romance. What is romance? Romance is where you're trying to win a person to be your mate, or at least your partner, or your significant other, or your friend, or whatever you want to call them. Now, I have been teaching for a millennia or two that when two people enjoy each other's company and they have sparks going on, they fall in love with each other, they don't have to court each other. They don't have to buy presents for each other. They don't have to do anything. They are one. Now that's a beautiful thing. And when you're one, you just are like a hand in glove. You're a team. You work harmoniously together to do whatever it is that you do. You work harmoniously together in whatever you don't do together. You allow each other the room to be who you are. If one wants to bowl and the other wants to play pool or something like that, you allow each other to go your own ways. And you don't think that the other has to be a clone of you, an exact duplicate of you. You don't think that. You think the other can be themselves and be wonderful. Now, that's true love. Romantic love is a facade. It's a game that you want to play because you think that you have, that you're not worthy. If you walk up to a person and you say, "Hello, I understand you play golf. How wonderful. I enjoy the game myself. What's your handicap? What's your par?" And so you can talk golf. Now, you don't have to say, "Oh, you know, I'd like to buy you a set of golf clubs so I can talk to you. I'd like to, you know, take you to dinner so I can talk to you about playing golf. I'd like to do..." No, you see, that's courting. That's courting, whether it's another person to have something to talk with you about, or whether it's a woman that you want to marry, or a man that you're interested in. Women court men just as much as men court women. Don't ever get a false idea about that. I've often said, they say men take advantage of women and rape them or something like that, but they take advantage of them. Women take advantage of men far more often than men take advantage of women. All a woman has to do is just flutter her little eyelids and drop her handkerchief, and a man just falls out of his chair, you know, because she's already got full control of the situation. And she doesn't just drop her handkerchief for anybody, or she doesn't flutter her eyelashes or anybody. She makes a selection. That's the one right there that I'm interested in, you know. And she gets him. And he gets her when he wins her approval too. But usually it's chase me until I catch you. You know. Chase me until I catch you. And this is the way most romances and most relationships go. Because two people who like each other and who enjoy each other's company and who are together, they are together because they mutually want to be together. I think that the sooner we learn not to give gifts, the sooner we learn not to take people out to dinner, the sooner we learn not to take people to dances and things like that, the sooner we'll have a real relationship. If, when you're together, the two of you say, "Let's go dancing," that's great. But if you take her dancing to get her attention, or she takes you dancing to get your attention, then that's manipulation. And manipulation always leads to misunderstanding. Now, I'm not saying all manipulation leads to misunderstanding, but I say most manipulation leads to misunderstanding. Because you're trying to get the person to act and respond to you based upon who you are, and it's not really who you are. Because you're putting on a show. You wear your best clothes when you go over to court your girl. You polish your shoes when you go to court your girl. You put on a tie even, maybe, you know, heaven forbid, when you go to court your girl. You take her a box of candy when you go to court your girl. And you know it's for her father, you know, not for her. You do all these silly things. And really, if you haven't won her heart, because the two of you are harmonious one with the other, all the romancing, all the courting is going to do no good. It'll only lead to, between 1 and 10 years down the road to divorce. 50% of the marriages lead to divorce because they have not been marriages made in heaven. And maybe they were made in heaven, but you let the vision of heaven slip away too quickly. In other words, if courting won you each other, you better be courting each other all of your life. If being one with each other, at the instant you see each other, super, then that marriage is made in heaven right then and there, and you don't need to court. You don't need to buy. You just woo-woo at each other. You just are one with each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we try to manipulate life, when we try to manipulate things to get what we want to have, what happens to us? What happens to us is that we close the door on all experiences. We close the door on all opportunities. We close the door on a lasting relationship. If I say to you, 50% of the marriages are because people didn't romance each other, but they just fell in love, and that was it. There might have been romance. There might have been courting, but only because you didn't get married immediately. Only because you didn't form an alliance immediately. But if you did form an alliance immediately, there'd still be no courting. There'd still be no romance. Because it'd just be doing what comes naturally. You'd respond to the beauty in each other, and you'd love the beauty in each other. But just remember, if you have to win somebody over by your manipulation, they're not worth having. Because you will have them but a short time, and then you lose them, which you never had them in the first place. When any relationship is formed by that instantaneous oneness that you feel for each other, then you have a lasting relationship. Then you have a relationship that will last all the years, all down the life. Remember how Sam and, what was her name?
Maria.
Sam and Maria. Maria was a nurse, and she was teaching religious science, and she was teaching God Unlimited. And Sam was a man who had made himself, and he had never been married. Maria, I don't believe, was ever married. And here they are in their late 60s, when they get married. Now they're in their late 80s, in the early 90s, and they're happily married. Because they didn't have this gushy, gushy, mushy, mushy romance love, which fades away. They had that instantaneous, hey, you're all right, I like you. You're all right, I like you. And they became one. So, think about that. Think about that. Looking for a romance at work destroys my job effectiveness. Looking for romance anyplace destroys your effectiveness as a share, as a partner, as anything like that. If you want to have a happy life, if you want to have a fulfilled life, let the spark in you ignite the spark in them, or join the spark in them to be a beautiful relationship, a beautiful friendship. If you want to have anything good in life, let your spark so shine that it doesn't matter if anybody else shines or not. It doesn't matter if anybody else hears you or cares about you. It only matters one thing, that you care about yourself, that you like yourself, that you enjoy yourself. Romance at work destroys the job. It does. Usually, romance at work is between a married person and an unmarried person. And that really destroys your job effectiveness. It's unfortunate, but this is what happens. When you can like yourself so well that you create everybody in your world liking you too, then you will just select which one is your pure romance, is your pure love. You'll select which one, and you'll be surprised who it'll be. You'll be surprised. The young man in the movie the other night, he wanted a family, he wanted a life. What did he do? In a matter of hours, he brought it into being. He came home from service, he found out that his wife was not really what he expected, and she wasn't interested in him. And so he went out to find himself. And in the process, he found a new love. And he was strong enough to withhold. But that new love clicked. Right away it clicked when he first saw her entering the bus, when he first saw her. The new life clicked. Remember? And it stayed. And even through hell, through the most inharmonious way, it stayed, because it was the true love. They didn't court each other. In fact, they did the opposite. They ignored each other. But yet, it was true love. It's okay. You say, that's just a movie. No, that's life. That's life. That fellow acted much like I acted. He acted much like other people that I know acted. They're not out looking for somebody. They're just out being themselves and having fun. So, really, don't worry about romance. Romance is a dead issue. Romance has no existence. What has existence is oneness. When you are one with another person, you may call it romance, but it's not. It's something far greater. When you have romance, that means you're working at something. Ah, he's so wonderful. Oh, she's so wonderful. You know, that's stupid. Because it means that you are not in charge of your emotions. You're not in charge of your body. You're not in charge of anything. It's just everything has been taken over by your emotions and has nothing to do with your reality. But when you're really in love, then all is harmony. All is, oh, the road of love is tough and filled with problems. Of course it is, when you're not in love. When you're manipulating another person to do what you want them to do, when you're manipulating another person to be part of your family, when you're manipulating another person to create them in your world contrary to their desire, you get problems. But when you're really in love, there's no manipulation needed. The two of you are one. You flow together. Your thinking is together. Your dreaming is together. Your life is together. So, romance at work destroys job effectiveness. Romance anywhere destroys a relationship. Pure love, one with each other, no judgment, is the greatest experience anyone could ever have. And this is what I see for each of you and know for each of you. And I love